You know, from an ethical perspective, looking at a doc in practice who doesn't have that type of support that you do and doesn't, therefore, let's say, use IP therapy, do you think that there's sort of an ethical obligation to say to the patient, listen, this is out there, I don't do it. If you want to consider it, I can send you somewhere else?
I think so. I think that if one looks at the most recent data, the GOG 172, where the survival advantage is measured, you know, in the neighborhood of 10 months, I think you've really got to say to a patient, this is a potentially better therapy. It is difficult to give. It is somewhat more toxic. It takes more resources than I can muster in my own small practice. But if you want to do this, understanding that there are pros and cons to it, I will help you find a provider who does this well.
You know, our CME group is always doing patterns of care studies. We've done many in breast cancer, colon, lung. We just, you know, prostate. We just sort of ask people what they do. And I would love to do one in ovarian cancer. And I guess I wonder if you have any thoughts about what really is happening out there in practice. Are people presenting the alternative of going somewhere else? How many people are using IP therapy in the community? Any thoughts or ideas?
Well, it's an interesting sociology experiment. And when the first intraperitoneal chemotherapy program was reported by Dave Alberts in the Journal of Clinical Oncology in the very early 1990s, it came almost simultaneously with the introduction of paclitaxel. And although paclitaxel in 1993 was not an easy drug to give, it was a new drug which was perhaps easier to deal with than a new technique. And so paclitaxel, with the marketing muscle of Bristol-Myers Squibb behind it, really overcame the idea of intraperitoneal treatment because it was something you could do without changing your pattern of care too much. It gave your patient genuine benefit, and there was no data to say that you could do both paclitaxel and intraperitoneal treatment simultaneously. And it took us, you know, a half a dozen years to develop that data. The same thing happens now in that I think people see bevacizumab as being the same kind of paradigm-shifting drug introduction. And the current clinical trial within the gynecologic oncology group is a carboplatin paclitaxel plus bevacizumab randomized trial. I think if you're a practicing physician, you can look at this and you can say, this is an acceptable alternative to doing intraperitoneal therapy, and it's been reviewed all the way through the National Cancer Institute, and the national IRBs have said this is an ethical thing to do, even in patients who are potentially eligible for IP therapy, if you're discussing it with them. And so I think that people can look at this and say, I'm still doing what could be considered cutting-edge therapy without having to disrupt everything that I do in order to do IP therapy.